We begin the current daf Masechet Beya, daf Chav Ches. We begin on the top line of the Yomid, but the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayos, discussing the halachas of meat on Yom Tov. Now, one of the ways to get meat from the butcher is that the butcher weighs it, and then he tells you how much you have to pay. So on that, the Mishnah tells us the following machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says, Sheikel Adam Basar, a person could weigh a piece of meat, and that's specifically regarding the butcher, who he sells meat based on weight. Now, although one is not allowed to weigh meat with the normal weights that are generally used, because that's what's called uvdu dechayil, it's a maisachot, it's how it's done during the weekday, which the previous Mishnayos have been discussing, are not allowed to be done on Yom Tov and Shabbos. However, an individual is, in this case the butcher, is allowed to weigh it keneged kli, if he doesn't do it the normal way, the specific weights that there are meant to weigh the meat. Rather, if the other side of the meat is a vessel, oy keneged akayfetz, or the other side is this cleaver, which is a large knife that they use to chop up the meat, where here there's a shinu, it's a deviation of how it's normally done, so therefore that's not considered a way that's done during the weekday, hence it's not forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. But Chamayim, they say, that ein mashkichin bekaf maznam kolek. No, we don't get involved whatsoever with a scale, we can't weigh it no matter what, even if we're not doing it the way it's normally done with the normal weight, if we're using a cup or a bowl or whatever, it doesn't make a difference, one cannot weigh the meat on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara clarifies this statement of the Chachamim, Michael Iker, what does the Chacham mean when they say at all? It's like a totality statement. Like, what are they coming to include that would not have known had they just said the Chacham Eis? And they say, no, it's forbidden to weigh. What are they including by saying Kol Iker at all? So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. The Chiddush is, Afil L'shamim Min Achvarim. Even if actually you're putting on the scale, nothing to do with weighing. You're just putting it on there because you want to protect it from the mice, and this is the highest place you can get. That is what the Chachamim are saying, that no, you don't even look at the scale. You can't do anything with it. That's how forbidden it is, that it's a weekday type of a thing. You can't even put it on there if your intention is even to just protect it and you're finding a safe place on the scale. Now, Amar Avida Bar Oven, however, he qualifies this and he says, V'hu detalya betrita. This problem, this issur that the Chachamim are saying there's totally no usage whatsoever allowed, even if you're just protecting it from the mice, that's if it's hanging from the ring, which is used, that it hangs from the pole, which is how the scale is used. It's not just on the scale itself, but there's a certain ring that it hangs from when it's weighed on. That looks like, it has the appearance, even if you're doing it to protect it from the mice, that it's being used to weigh. That's why it's forbidden. But if, let's say, it was on the shelf, nothing, it wasn't hanging on the ring where it's weighed on, then the Gemara is explaining that then we wouldn't be concerned, and it wouldn't have the appearance of weighing, and you wouldn't be weighing it. Then it would be allowed to put it on there to protect it from the mice. We're talking about where it's in place, where it normally is, then it would have the appearance of wrongdoing, of weighing. So even that is what the Chachamim are coming to include with Kol Iker. You can't even do that. Now, continuing another halacha from the same Amoira, and continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel. He says, Tavach Uman, says a professional butcher, where he's so professional that he knows how to weigh with his hands, he doesn't even need to use a scale. So therefore, he says, Asr lishkol basar biyad. Such a person cannot actually weigh a piece of meat in his hand. In other words, to hold the weights in one hand and the piece of the meat in the other hand. He can be so precise, he knows this business so well that he can weigh it in his hands, because even during the weekday, since he's a professional, that's normative for him. And therefore, that would be included in the same issur of weighing with the weights. You can't hold the weight in one hand and the meat in the other hand. It's the same issur of weighing on Yom Tov. Another halacha of Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Tavachumen, again, a professional butcher, also lishkol basar b'mayim. He similarly cannot go ahead and weigh meat in water. Now what that is that a person would have a receptacle which had markings in the vessel, and they would put water in there. And then by the displacement of putting in the piece of meat, one would know how much is the weight of that meat by having the water go up those notches. That similarly is something for a professional butcher. He knows exactly, it's normative for him to weigh that way because he knows how to do it. And therefore for him, it'd be forbidden to weigh even without the regular weights. This would be considered an issur of weighing on Yom Tov. Now continuing on the halachas of meat on Yom Tov, the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, also lasses beis yad b'basar. It's forbidden to make a handle in a piece of meat on Yom Tov. Now what that means is that they would make a hole so that you could stick something in it to hold up the piece of meat. One is not allowed to do that. Again, that's a weekday, mundane type of activity. When they're selling the meat, they make these holes so that you could hold it like that. That's forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. However, Amar Ravina u'biyad d'shari, with one's hand, in other words, if you're just sticking in your finger making the hole, that's permitted to do because, again, that's not the way it's normally done during the weekday. But if they would be taking a knife, and that, as the Gemara had said, that would be considered a weekday type of a thing to do. And that is because when they would sell a piece of meat, they would make this like handle so that the one who purchased the meat has a way of getting it home. He can't carry the whole thing. So you would have a way of sticking something in and holding like that. On Yom Tov, you have to change it from how it's normally done. Again, because Mekach HaMemcher is not permitted to be done business dealings. And therefore, anything that's resembling of that is forbidden. And therefore, you can't make this hole as to be used as a handle. But again, if it's being done with one's finger, then that's not how it's normally done, and that's going to be permitted. A similar heter for something that was a process in how to make the piece of meat is permitted on Yom Tov. Amar Rav Huna, he says, Mutar la'asa simen b'basar. A person is allowed to make a sign in his piece of meat so that the one who's carrying it shouldn't switch it. And that is, one wants to be careful that the piece of meat that he's sending there, that same kosher meat, is the one that's getting to where he's sending it to. So someone can make a marking in the meat so that he knows that this is his piece of meat. Kihad Rabbi Rav Huna, like Rabbi Rav Huna, when he would send meat back home to his family, mechatuch lo atlas karnasa, he would cut it on three corners. In other words, he would make it in the shape of a triangle, and then his family knew, oh, this is Tati sending it home. That's his symbol that he would make. He cuts it in the shape of a triangle so that they know that the messenger didn't go ahead and switch it. Maybe he put a tray for me. Who knows? One could do that on Yom Tov. Again, that's not considered an uvn nechol. That's something that's prohibited to be done on Yom Tov. Now, the Gemara continues with the halachas that were mentioned in our Mishnah about weighing meat on Yom Tov. So the Gemara tells us that Reb Chiya, Reb Shimon bar Rabbi, when they would split meat on Yom Tov, so they would be shoiklin mana, they would weigh that piece of meat that they were splitting, keneged mana b'yom tov, against another piece of meat on Yom Tov, and that's how they knew how much the weight of it was going to be. Now that the Gemara asks, come on, who were they going like? Loik Reb Yehuda, loik Rabbanan. It's neither like Reb Yehuda or like Rabbanan, as we said in our Mishnah, because ik Reb Yehuda, if they would be going like Reb Yehuda, but ha'amer shekel adam baster keneged akli, keneged akayfetz. What did he say in our Mishnah? He said that although you can't weigh on Yom Tov, that's considered a weekday mundane type of activity, but one could weigh it opposite a utensil or a cleaver. Now the inference is keneged akli in. You could weigh it opposite a utensil. That's not normally how you weigh things. You don't take a cup and weigh it opposite the piece of meat. That's permitted. Keneged mid achrini, but opposite something else. In other words, to take a piece of meat and weigh it opposite another piece of meat, where that's how people usually split it, loy. Even Rabbi Yehuda would not permit that. It's only with something that's really not the normative way to doing it. And ik Rabbanan, if they'd be going like Rabbanan, ha'ami emeshkicha mekaf maznav kaleka, they say forget about it. They say you can never weigh, even with a cup or utensil, with nothing can you weigh. You can never utilize it. So who are they going like on Yom Tov when they would go ahead and split their meat, that they would weigh it opposite one piece, opposite the other, if that's normally how it's done during the weekdays? So that the Gemara says, inu David k'Rabbi Yeshua. Actually, they weren't going like either opinion on Mishnah. They were going like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. The time like, Lina Brisa, so that's where Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is mentioned. Rabbi Yeshua, I mean, he says, Sheik Leman, the Keneged Man, the Yamtev. He argues on the two opinions on Mishnah. He says, one could weigh a piece of meat opposite another piece, as long as it's not weighing opposite the weights, that is not allowed. But weighing one piece of meat opposite the other, that's permitted. Now, actually, Amar Rav Yosef, he says, Halacha, k'Rabbi Yeshua. Actually, Halacha doesn't follow either opinion on Mishnah. It follows this opinion, Rabbi Yeshua. And he says, the reason is, Ha'il v'tnan b'b'chayris kavasei. Since the opinion mentioned in the Mishnah b'chayris is like Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore it would seem the Halacha follows like Rabbi Yeshua. Where we find over there in that Mishnah, as the Gemara is going to quote, that it's forbidden regarding, in general, the Halacha of a b'chayr, to weigh and to sell a b'chayr that's a baal mum, which has a blemish, where because if it didn't have a blemish, you can't go ahead and consume it, that a kohen slaughtered, if he did that with called belitra, if he did it with weights, that's prohibited to do that with a bechayr. And the reason is because you're not allowed to do a mundane type of activity to things that are kosher because it's disgraceful to go ahead and weigh it how it would normally be in a shop, in a store. That's not how we do the kosher meats. Now, however, the Mishnah there tells us that it is allowed, however, to weigh, although we said that one is not allowed to go ahead and sell it out in the open places, or someone's not allowed to go ahead and weigh the piece of meat. However, it says over there, as the Gemara will quote, you could weigh one piece of meat opposite another piece of meat, and then you'll know how much is the weight of that, so you could weigh other things to that, and that's permitted. So obviously, that Mishnah holds that weighing a piece of meat opposite the other one is not what's called uvd nechol. It's not how it's normally done during the weekdays. And therefore, That's why you're allowed to do it by Bechor. Although you're not allowed to weigh, that's not considered the normal way of weighing it. That should be prohibited to do by Bechor. And hence, the same thing would apply. Rabbi Yosef is saying, like the opinion of Rabbi Shua, that one could go out and weigh a piece of meat like that also on Yom Tov, because that's not Ovdin Nechal. That's not how it's normally done. Did not, like we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechtas Bechoris, Rabbi Yosef will show that the Stam Mishnah in Bechoris is saying, like Rabbi Shua, where although they're talking about two different topics, one's about the halachas of Bechor, that you cannot weigh it, and we're talking about that regarding Yom Tov, where you can't weigh, but they're both talking about when you can't weigh, yet they're both saying that you could weigh one piece of meat opposite the other. Now, the Gemara here will quote the end of the Mishnah. However, the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about where it says, "Ol pesuli hamikdashin," where if, let's say someone has a carbon that has an invalidation, so you can't bring it as a carbon anymore. So the halachas are that they could be sold be'itlis, which means say out in the open and in stores, and it could also be weighed with litra, with the weights that it's normally used to weigh. The exception, the Mishnah there tells us, is b'chayr, which is the firstborn animal, and meiser, which is the 10th animal, where you have to give up a tithe from the animals. Now the reason for that is because the pleasure of those animals don't go to Kachim, doesn't go to the Hekdash, to the Beis HaMikdash, rather goes to the owners. Now, however, and that's what the Gemara quotes now over here, but Pesuli HaMikdashin, those karbanas which are invalid, Hana'asin LaHekdash, they're their pleasure, the benefit of the surplus, the money that's going to be sold, goes to Hekdash, goes to the temple fund. Now, and therefore the explanation, what the Mishnah there is saying is that all kachim, all karbanas that are bali movement, that they develop a blemish where they could be redeemed when they get a blemish. So although that there's still somewhat of a kedush on them, you can't just do anything. You can't disgrace it, where the Torah actually says it's forbidden with these psula hamakdashin, even once they're redeemed, to shear them or to work them, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Bechoris, where it says in the pasuk tizbach, that you could slaughter and eat that carbon that was redeemed and then its money took the sanctity and now the carbon could be eaten, but you can't shear it. Now, although there's still some kedusha, however, we could still do some type of mundane type of activities to that type of animal. How so? We're selling it in itlis, in this, oh, you could slaughter it out in these big chunks in the marketplace, and it could be sold like that, and you could even weigh it with litter, with the weights that's normally used to weigh, although we wouldn't do that to a carbon of a kachim, but since here it's really, most of its sanctity has gone away by the redemption, so therefore you could do it that way, except for Bechayr and for Meiser, where there the benefit of the selling doesn't go to Hekdash, rather goes to the owners. Now the reason why that is that difference by Bechayr and Meiser is because they cannot be redeemed when they have a blemish, so that now the money goes to Hekdash, because by Bechayr it says that it's Leisif, that it shouldn't be redeemed, and Meiser says Leigol, that it can't be redeemed. Rather, it's eaten by the owners, and that's where it goes when it gets develops a blemish. Now therefore, the Mishnah Masechta Bechor says that we cannot do any mundane activities when we sell the meat of a Bechor or a Meiser that has developed a blemish where it's sold and then the owners are the one that eat it. Now, whether if it's by Bechor the owner is a Kayin, by Meiser the owner is Yisrael, but either way, it's the owners that are eating it. Whereas regards to other Karbanis that develop a blemish, where there the benefit of the selling goes to Hekdash. Now, Rashi forewarns that although really what we're talking about over here is that it was already redeemed before it was slaughtered. Because before it's redeemed, you're not allowed to slaughter it because you have to have hamad v'arach, you have to properly evaluate it when one is going to redeem it. Even so, Rashi explains how the benefit of being able to sell it out in the open and weighing it, which makes it more marketable and being able to sell it better, which applies to other kabbanas, not by Bechor Meiser, is because since the one who's purchasing it knows when he's redeeming it, that he's going to be able to get more money out of it because he could sell it out in the market and sell it with these big pieces of meat. So therefore, he pays the higher markup for the carbon, and that's why we want that. So then he'll pay the higher price to redeem it. The Hekdash is going to get more money because then he can go ahead and resell it in the market in a more convenient way, which is more marketable. And therefore, we could disgrace it on some level by selling it in this itlis and where everybody's going to be there out in the marketplace and they're going to purchase it that way. However, as we explained, that would not apply by the halachas of Bechor, which by Bechor Meiser, we cannot sell it out in the open with a big piece of meat and weigh it the way it's normally weighed. It really has the same sanctity it had because it's not redeemable. However, the Mishnah there says, V'shoykel mona k'neged mona b'Bechor. However, we could weigh one piece opposite another piece. In other words, for both criteria, as we said, you can sell it out in the marketplace. So we're talking about when the person is selling it in his house, so it's not be'itlis. And we also said the other one, that the difference in Bukhari and Meiser in contrast to other Karbanos is that you can't sell it by weight. However, what you could do is you could sell one piece opposite another piece. So we see, says Rabbi Yosef, that the Mishnah Mechairos says, like Rabbi Yeshua, by the halachas of Bayamtib, where we see that weighing one piece opposite another piece is not the normal way how things are weighed. And therefore, that would seem to be why the halachas is like Rabbi Yeshua, and that's how these two Amiram were following, actually, in practice, that they would weigh one piece opposite another piece, because that's not the way how it's normally done during the weekday. That Amal Abaya, Abaya said to Rabbi Yosef, he says, no. Vidim Allahi, maybe it's not the case. Maybe actually the Rabbanan and Bechairis do not hold like Rabbi Yeshua over here by Yamtiv. And maybe Rabbi Yeshua over here by Yamtiv would not agree to Rabbanan by Bechairis, and he would actually hold that it would be different and that it wouldn't be that it's going to be mutter, as he explains. Adkan lakam Rabbi Yeshua halacha, because where do we have over here Rabbi Yeshua who he says that one can go ahead and weigh one piece opposite another piece on Yamtiv, and that's not considered of the Nechal of weighing? Because el deleke bezoin kachim, because there is no element of disgrace to karbanos. We're not talking about any karbanos here. We're just talking about that you're not allowed to weigh on Yom Tov. So he says, this is not the regular way of weighing, so that's okay. And that's not considered obdin nechayl. Abul Hassan, but over there by the Mishnah Masechtas B'chayr, is deke bezoin kachim. There's an element of disgrace to a carbon selling things by weight. There I would say that loy, he would not agree to the Rabbanan that one could sell the B'chayr by having one piece opposite another piece, because there's still an element of disgrace. Maybe he would say that that's different. We're talking about karbanas. Or inam, or if you want, you could say the reverse. Ad kan lekam Rabban Hasam. Until now, we had Rabban over there who said that by Bechor, it's permitted to sell one piece opposite another piece. Elamishum deloy mechzi kov nechal. Because it doesn't look like a weekday, Monday type of activity. Because there, we're talking about where the person who owns the Bechor, the Kayin, he's selling it to other people. Now, it's not the normative way when you're selling pieces of meat to weigh one piece opposite another piece. You usually use your scales, the proper weights. And therefore, that's where they said, okay, it's not the regular way. And therefore, that's permitted. It's not such a disgrace. Aval hacha, but over here, by Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Rebbe, the mechzikov in the chayl, where it does look like how it's normally done during the weekday. Because what were they doing? They were engaging in splitting up. Okay, let's share this piece of meat. You take this half, I take this one. Now, that is how people usually split up a piece of meat. Because that's how they're just splitting it up. So we weigh our piece of meat. When you're selling, you're not selling by weighing a piece of meat opposite the other one. But when you're shearing, okay, who got the perfect piece? Let's weigh it. Okay, and that's what you come out to. And therefore, maybe the Rabbanan would not hold like Rabbi Yeshua. And they would say that actually it would be forbidden to weigh a piece of meat opposite another piece on Yom Tov. And therefore, Abaye says it's not a riot to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. For this halacha of being able to weigh on Yom Tov a piece of meat opposite another piece from the Mishnah Maseches B'chayris, and it wouldn't work either way because each one has its own element that we could say that they wouldn't agree to the other one. Now the Gemara asks in general on that story that we brought down that Reb Chiya and Shimon Bar Rebbe, that they, on Yom Tov they would weigh one piece opposite another piece when they would be splitting meat. So the Gemara asks, Lememer de Kapti Adadi, is that to say that they're particular one about the other, meaning Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe, that they had to, when they were splitting their meats, they had to weigh exactly? But they were one, they were mevatrim. They were people that they would take from each other with joy, with pleasure, take, and no one cared about the other one. Because we find Vahanu Shev Benisa, there were these seven pieces of fish, the Aslabei Rebbe, that came to the house of Rebbe. And it ended up coming out that five of the pieces of fish went to the house of Reb Chiya, that he took five and took it to his house. And Reb Shimon Rebbe, who was the counterpart in this story, who he was the son of Rebbe, he didn't complain to say, well, what do you mean? This is my father who got the fish, Rebbe, and he took five and I get two? He didn't say that because they weren't particular about each other. They were happy that the other one got more. So how do we even understand this story that when they would split, they would weigh one opposite the other as if Chas v'Shalom one would get more than the other? So I'm Rav Papa says, you're right. Shadi Gavra Binai. What you have to do is you have to throw in a different person in that story. In other words, it couldn't have been the two of them because you're right, they weren't particular about each other. Rather, Reb Chiya Reb Shimon Reb Yasi. Either the other one was not Reb Shimon Rebbe, rather it was Reb Shimon Reb Yasi. Or to say Reb Shimon Rebbe Bar Kapara, that it wasn't actually Reb Chiya, but rather it was Reb Shimon Rebbe, and it was Bar Kapara, that they were the ones that would split it, and they would share it, and they weren't so friendly, and they were particular about that each one should get exactly. But the ones that we mentioned, the Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Rebbe, they weren't particular, and they would never have done it that way, to weigh it exactly one opposite the other. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was talking about eating meat on Yom Tov. Now, regarding one of the preparations of going to eat meat on Yom Tov. So that the Mishnah tells us that Eim Hashchiz Nesasakin B'Yamtiv. You're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yamtiv. Aval Masia Agabi Chaverta. But you could go ahead and place it on top of the other knife. In other words, to sharpen it one knife on the other, because again, that's not going to be the way it's normally done during the weekday. And since you're doing it with that Shinoi, it's permitted to do that on Yamtiv. Now, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna qualifies this halacha of our Mishnah. He says, Loi Shanu El B'Mashchezes Shel Evan. We only learned this halacha regarding a sharpener that's a stone. And that is because if one sharpens his knife on a stone, then that really fixed it very well. And that looks like a real tikkun as it's done during the weekday. Av B'Mashchezes Shel Eitz Mutar, says, but to sharpen the knife on a sharpener that sharpens the knives on made out of wood, that's permitted because that doesn't really do such a great job, and hence that's not a problem of a weekday, mundane type of activity. Now that Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, he qualifies this, and there's four different versions of this statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel in our Gemara. First one being qualifying this statement of Rav Huna, where Hada Amr Chal Eben Aser, this that Rav Huna said in qualifying our Mishnah, that this that you're not allowed to sharpen the knife is only on a stone. That was only said if someone is trying to do it to sharpen his knife. But if he's just doing it to get the fats that are stuck on the knife off and he's trying to scrape it off on the stone, that's permitted to be done. Now, on this, the Gemara is medayik. The Gemara infers from this statement of Rabbi Yehuda Neim Shmuel, the Mechlal, that from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said that the entire iser of a stone to sharpen a knife is only when you're sharpening it, from that you can infer the Bishal Eitz that regarding a wooden one, that means that you could even sharpen, if that's your intention, by the wooden one, because what Rav Huna said is forbidden by the stone one, that's the same thing that's going to be permitted by the wooden one. And Rabbi Yehuda had qualified that he was told about regarding sharpening, and therefore, but to take off the fats, is permitted even by the stone. So it must be that the wooden one, which is permitted, is even saying that's even permitted to sharpen the knife on it. That those that learn a second version of Rabbi Huna's statement was going as safer. Actually, was going on the end of Rabbi Huna's statement. That Rabbi Huna said, but our Mishnah was only told by Bishal Evan that you're not allowed to sharpen the knife, but Bishal Eitz Mutter, but on the wooden one that's permitted. And that is what Rabbi Huna Meshmul, had the Amr Bishal Eitz Mutter, this that Rabbi Huna said. However, if it's made out of wood that you're sharpening on the knife on, is permitted. That was only said if you're trying to get the fats off the knife. But even the wooden one, if your intention of putting the knife to the wood is to sharpen it, even that would be forbidden. Now that the Gemara makes the diyak mechalal, from that you can infer the bishal evan, but regarding the stone one, according to this version, would come out that the stone one would be forbidden even to go ahead and just wipe off the fats, because to sharpen even the wooden one is forbidden. So it must be the stone one is forbidden even to just wipe off the fats. Igudah Masnila, those that learned the statement of Yehuda, a third version, actually he was going on Masnitin, on the Mishnah. He wasn't even going and clarifying about the statement of Rav Huna. He's going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Eimashchizen esasakin b'yamtiv. We're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yamtiv. Now, that has a contrast, as the Mishnah says, just like Rav Huna's statement had a contrast, and those are the four different versions of Rav Yehuda, that there's two versions regarding Rav Huna's statement, his first half and the contrast. And then there's two versions that we're going to quote now that are in the Mishnah also, which is on the first half or on the contrast. Now, regarding the first statement of the Mishnah, on that on Rabbi Yehuda, on Meshmul, Loishana El Chadda, we didn't learn that one's not allowed to sharpen his knife on Yamtiv, only if it's to sharpen it, that he's coming to fix it. Aval Havisham Ninisa, but if it's coming to just wipe off the fats, where that's just like cleaning it, then Mutter, then you're allowed to do it even on the regular sharpener. Now, Machlau, so on that the Gemara makes the inference, but if you're doing it on one knife on the other one, that means to say you could even do it to sharpen it, because what's forbidden in the first one is permitted in the other one, and that we were saying in the context of sharpening. The fourth version says, has Rabbi Yehuda going on the end of the Mishnah, which said, although you cannot sharpen a knife on Yamtiv, but you could sharpen one knife on the other one. And that is what Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, he said, we didn't learn that it's permitted, only if you're doing it to get the fats off the knife. But even one knife on the other would be forbidden if you're doing it to sharpen it. And that the Gemara makes the inference, machlal, you can infer to be meshchezes, but if you're doing it on the regular cutter of the knife that sharpens it, that even to get off the fats, even that would be forbidden, and only regarding one knife on the other is that permitted. Now the Gemara asks regarding the authority of our Mishnah, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that says that one cannot sharpen a knife on the one that's designated to sharpen knives on Yom Tov. So Amar Rav Chisda, he says, obviously it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakh learned the Brisa, this machlokes. Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos. There is no difference in halacha between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Ela ichel nefesh bilvad, Tanakhama says, besides food preparation, that's things that it has a heter to be done on Yom Tov, but everything else is forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda, he argues, he's matur af machshiri echel nefesh, even for things that are preparatory for preparing food. And that's because he expounds the pasuk as the Gemara explained to Amud Beis, that when it says that you could do things, echel nefesh says, ya'asa lechem, that could be for you, which he learns, lechem means lechol tzarchechem, for all your needs, which that would apply similarly to a mashchezes, to sharpen a knife, because although sharpening a knife is not preparing food, but by preparing the knife, then you can prepare food with that. That's considered hechsher echel nefesh. He holds even that's permitted. So it must be that our mission is not like him, because it says to do the sharpening of the knife is forbidden. So now related to this halachically, the Gemara brings that Amalei Rav Rav Chisda. He says, Darshina Mishmecha, should we expound in your name? Should we go out and lecture in your name that halacha could be Huda? Halacha falls could be Huda, that not only is echel nefesh permitted, but even machshir echel nefesh? So Amalei Rav Chisda responds, he says, Yehi Rava, let it be the will, the chol kihani milim al yasa tidushu mishmi, that all such beautiful statements should be said in my name. Yes, halavai, that you should say that even hechsher echel nefesh is permitted on Yom Tov. So now again, related to this halacha, the Gemara brings the following incident. Omram Nechemya Bereid Rav Yisav, he says, Hava ka'im nekameh de Rava, it was in front of Rava, v'hava kom, and continue on to the bays, he was ma'avr l'sakina, he was wiping a knife, apuma de dukula, on the opening of a basket, by the surface of the basket. V'amrila, and they said to him, l'chad de koven mar, is the master doing it to sharpen the knife? Or l'havr shamli nusa, are you just doing it to wipe off the fats? Again, related to the discussion that we discussed in Amin Aleph, regarding are you allowed to sharpen the knife? Is machshir echel nefesh permitted? Or is it just that is he doing it in a different way, which is not the normative way? Or is he just wiping off the fats? He wanted in halachically, what is he doing? V'amrali said, no, l'havr shamli nusa, I'm just wiping off the fats, and that's why it's permitted, as we said, that even though it's forbidden to sharpen, but even the ones who say it's forbidden hold that you can wipe off the fats. But he says, v'chazisi l'dayte, but I really noticed, d'lechad d'kavet, that he was doing because he wanted to sharpen the knife. Now, so why did he tell me that he's just doing it to wipe off the fats? Because v'ksavre, he held that halacha, that although halacha is like a Yehuda, and it's permitted for everybody to sharpen the knife, but v'ein mayrin, but we don't go ahead and lecture this to the publican like this. And the reason why we don't lecture this to the people is because we don't want people to disgrace and do things on Yom Tov, like sharpening a knife, that are even possible to have been done before Yom Tov. And the reason is because, essentially, what Rabbi Yehuda allowed for Hechsher Echel Nefesh, as the Gemara will shortly explain, is only things that, if it got ruined on Yom Tov, or before Yom Tov, you were busy, you weren't able to go ahead and do that. But if for things that could have been done from before Yom Tov, there, even Rabbi Yehuda, who permits Machshir Echel Nefesh, would not have allowed it, and therefore he held that this is a very slippery slope if you tell people you're allowed to do Machshir Echel Nefesh, because people are then going to just push it off, even though they could have done it, which then is forbidden. And therefore he says, although that's the halacha, but in Marikim, we don't tell people, and therefore he told me that he was just wiping it off, but I know he was really doing it like Rabbi Yehuda, because even though he was sharpening the knife, Machshir Echel Nefesh up at Midan Yom Tov. Similar, V'amar Abaya, Abaya says, Havakim the Kamidamar was in front of the master, and he was passing through a knife over the surface of a mill. And again, I told him, is the master doing it to sharpen the knife? Or he's just, you're getting off the fats. And he told me, I'm just getting off the fats. But he says, but Abai says, I noticed that he was really doing it to sharpen the knife. But he held halacha ve'emar and kain again, that although halacha is fazer gebihudam, but we don't go out and lecture this to the people, because then people are going to then take advantage of the halacha, distort halacha, and then end up doing things that are forbidden. Now, related to this discussion about knives and Yom Tov, the Gemara says, Ibar had the following question. Mahu laharis, what is the halacha regarding a butcher, a slaughterer, going ahead to show a sakin l'chacham Yom Tov, to show his knife to a sage on Yom Tov? Meaning for him to go ahead and check if it's an appropriate knife that he could shecht with. Now the reason for this is because the Chachamim imposed upon the butchers to show their knives to a sage before he shechts any animal. Now, and that's the question of the Gemara now is that permitted to be done on Yom Tov? Does that look like what's called an Ovdei Dechol, like a weekday type of activity where it's a large, at what's called Av Shemilsa, where it's showing like, oh, as if he's going to go ahead and slaughter all these animals out in the public or does it not look like? And that it's not something that's of the nechal, where people could just slaughter their animals, what they want to use to eat for the yomtiv meal. So now we have machlekes. Rav Mar B'Reidra business says shari. He says it's permitted. Why can't you show it to just make sure it's a good knife and you could shecht with it, and then you shecht with it. Rav Banasi, they say it's forbidden because the butcher is slaughtering. He looks like he's slaughtering for the market, and that's forbidden. That looks like a weekday activity. Rav Yisrael, he says as follows. He says, Tamachachem roi la'atmai. The sage could look at the knife for himself. In other words, in his own house with his own knife, which is not making a public exclamation by just doing checking his own knife. And then once he checks his knife for what he needs for himself, then the mashilachem, then he could lend it to others, and then they can use it. The butcher could take his knife and not have to get involved in this question, which would be forbidden for him to do it. Rather, the chatam chacham sees it himself, which he could do it, and then he lends it to the butcher. Now, relating to this discussion, the Gemara brings another statement from Amar of Yosef. He says, "Sakin sha'amda," a knife that lost its sharpness, where it doesn't cut that well anymore, but it's not so blunt. It doesn't have any dents in it. And that, he says, mutal lechad b'yamtiv. You're allowed to sharpen such a knife on yamtiv. Now, although that yesterday and the day before, you saw that the knife was starting to lose some of the sharpness. But the reason of this halach is because the person doesn't have to entertain yesterday because he didn't think that he's going to necessarily need this knife on yamtiv. However, what he is saying is that if it was already blunted, it was already got ruined from before, it has a pagam, then it wouldn't be permitted, because then it's obvious that it's a ruined knife, and therefore you should have fixed it from before Yom Tov. And then, as the Gemara will shortly explain, even those who allow sharpening knives on Yom Tov do not allow if it's something that could have been done and should have been done from before Yom Tov. So it's only if it's not as great, then you can sharpen it on Yom Tov. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Vahani mili hu, the piska agav duchka. But that's only if at least you could cut if you pushed very hard, although it's not as sharp anymore, but you would be able to cut. But if it wouldn't cut at all, that's how blunt it is, then Rav Yisrael is saying that you wouldn't be able to cut it to sharpen it, because that would be a real tircha yisera. That would be an overly extended effort, which, although even you're allowed to sharpen on Yom Tov, but not a tircha yisera, and therefore that would be forbidden. You have to at least be able to cut somewhat if you used a lot of weight and effort pushing it in. Now, regarding this machlekes that we're discussing between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, if you're allowed to go ahead and even do malachas of mechshir echal nefesh, the Gemara says that Darash Rav Chizda, Be'itam, and some say it was Rav Yosef, he said, Echad sakin shenifkema, whether a knife that got blunted, or the echad shaput shenirtsam, or a spit that its tip got broken off on Yom Tov, or the echad grievous tanav karam b'Yom Tov, or whether it's to shovel out the different types of ovens on Yom Tov, where, let's say, part of its layer fell in, and he didn't know about it before Yom Tov, Bana Malchikas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, so that enters the arena of the Malchikas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, where their Malchikas is, are you allowed to do even Machshiri Echel Nefesh, would apply to all these things. Are you allowed to fix this spit? Are you allowed to sharpen this knife? All these go into that category of their Malchikas. The Tanakh, learn the Braisa, as we mentioned before, Ein Ben Yom Tov L'Shabbos. Tanakhama says there is no difference in Halacha between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Elo Echel Nefesh Bilvad, only things that are preparation of food. Even permits things that are preparatory for the preparations of the food, which is fixing the knife, fixing the spit, that even those are permitted. And again, that's why all these different arenas enter that halacha of this machlekes. Now the Gemara asks, my time of the Tanakhama. So how do we understand this machlekes? What's the reason of the Tanakhama that he says only preparing the food and not the preparatory things like fixing the knives? Because he says, Amakrat says a pasuk in Shemais, Hu levade yos lechem, the pasuk that tells us that you're allowed to do oichel nefesh, says that this it's alone is permitted for you, which who says this, that's a miyut, it's exclusionary, v'loy mechshiv, but not the things that are preparatory for that, which is fixing the knives and the spits. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Amakra, he says, the pasuk says, lechem, which means lechem, lechot zarchechem, for you could do things, which means for all your needs, which means even fixing the knife to be able to make the food and to then be able to eat it, which includes even mechshir oichel nefesh. So the Gemara asks, but Tanakam oksev lechem, what do they do with this, the lechem, which seems to be inclusionary, to say anything that you need? Amalacha, they would tell you, hahu lechem v'loy l'nachem. Lechem doesn't mean to say l'chol tzarchechem for all your needs. It means for you, the Jewish people, but not for non-Jews. For them, you cannot cook on Yom Tov, you can't do oichel nefesh for them. But the Gemara asks, v'idach nami hoksev hu, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the word hu? It sounds like this, which is exclusionary, and only oichel nefesh, not mechshir oichel nefesh. So Amalacha, he will tell you as follows. He says, look, Ksivhu v'ksiv lochem. On the one hand, you're right. It says hu, which says only this, not mechshiri. But then on the other hand, it says lochem, which says lochot zarchechem, and even things that are mechshiri. So, but b'lei kashas. And it's not a contradiction. I'll explain to you why. Kan, in reference to where the pasuk says who, which is the excluding machshir yechol nefesh, that's be machshirin she'efesh la'asalishim erbiyantim, as we had alluded to this before, even Rabbi Huda agrees with things that are fixing knives or spits that could have been done from before yamtiv. Yes, there I agree. Who says that it's going to be forbidden to be done if it's machshir yechol nefesh that could have been done from before? Kan over here, where it says lochem, where it's including even machshir yechol nefesh, are be machshirin she'efesh la'asalishim erbiyantim, where it cannot have been done from before yamtiv. And the only time that's possible now is on Yom Tov, where let's say it broke on Yom Tov, then Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could do those malachas to prepare and fix the knife on Yom Tov, and for example, the spit. On that, the Chum would hold that no, even if it broke on Yom Tov, you couldn't have been done, it doesn't make a difference. Still a malacha that's forbidden. It's only Echol Nefesh itself that's permitted, but not Machshir Echol Nefesh. Now, related to this, these halachas, Rabbi Yehuda Mer Shmuel, he says, Shaput She Nirtzav, regarding a spit that got bent out of shape, but it didn't break. And that he says, Asla Saktim Yom Tov, you're not allowed to fix it on Yom Tov. And the reason is because even according to Behuda, you could use it as is, and therefore it's unnecessary tircha, unnecessary exertion, and therefore it's forbidden. So the Gemara has Peshitta, that seems pretty obvious. You could still use it, so why would we allow you to fix it to do a malacha if it's not necessary for even Machshir Yechol Nefesh? But the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, the Chiddush is, the Avagav de Mifshit B'yadei. Even though the person could have smoothed it out, straightened it out with his hands, he wouldn't even need a hammer to bang it. Even so, since it's something that's not necessary, it's forbidden to do that on Yom Tov. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Mer Shmuel, another halacha from Rabbi Yehuda Mer Shmuel, also in this theme, says, Shaput Shetzalu by Basar, again relating to a spit that a person had roasted meat on Yom Tov, Asla Tatla by Yom Tov. So now, right after the person finished roasting the piece of meat, it's forbidden to move that spit on Yom Tov. And the reason is because it's already got, it's repulsive now because you have all this juices of the meat all over it. And it's muktza, because it's something that's disgusting. And also, you already used it for what you needed to for Yom Tov. So now you have no reason to allow it to be moved. And it's muktza because it's disgusting. Therefore, once you finish roasting it, you can't move it anymore. However, Rav Adabrahava Amar Rav Malki, he argues, he says, Shaimtai, you could slip it away by dragging it in an indirect way, which is called in halacha as a muktzah, tiltum and atzad, indirectly moving it until you move it away from yourself. Umanicha bekeren zavas, and you could put it into the corner. Again, you can't move it in the regular way because it is muktzah, but we do allow you to move it in an indirect way. Now, on that, Rav Chiya bar Asher, Rav Huna, he qualifies this heter of moving it at least tiltum and atzad is v'hu sheyesh lav kezayis basa. As long as it has at least a kezayis, an olive-sized piece of meat on it, then it still has some utility because it's holding the meat. Then you can move it indirectly, but if it didn't have that, then you wouldn't even be able to move it tiltum and atzad. However, the Gemara brings a third opinion, Rav Inamar. He says, no, afa pi she'enu lav basar, even if there's no meat on it, mutlal tatloi, not only could you move it indirectly, he holds you could even move it in the regular way and to move it away. And the reason is, for a different understanding, is because we don't want anyone to get hurt by this spit that's laying around, all his family members. As he says, similar to the halacha that we know, which is mentioned in Masechta Shabbos, regarding when there's a thorn in the public domain, where there the halacha is brought that a person is allowed to move it less than 4 amos at a time, so that it's only a issur d'rabbanan, not a issur d'oraisa, until he brings it to the side of Rishus Rabbim, so that no one should get hurt. Here also, with halachas of muktzah, only rabbinic, one is allowed to go ahead and move it out of the way, so no one should get hurt. Now, once we mention Rav Malkir, the Gemara brings the following statement. Amar Chinna Bered Rav Ika, he says, Shvod, the halacha of the spit, Shvach is the halacha of the maidservants, Vegumah is the halacha of the pores, these three halachas are all Rav Malkir. They were all said by Rav Malkir and not Rav Malkiya. Now, the reason is because since their names are very similar and there were people that would confuse the two of them, so therefore the Gemara says which statements were said by which one so that we know because people get confused, Rav Malkiyah or Malkiyah. So on that, Rav Chinna is saying that these three halachas of Shvud, which is the one that we just mentioned before, that it's he held that you could move it tiltum and atzad, an indirect way, you could move it out of the way. And the halacha of Shvachis, of the maidservants, is a reference to Mishnah Masechtas Ksubis, where Rav Elaza says that there is an opinion there that says if a woman brings into the marriage a certain amount of maidservants, she doesn't have to work. Reza says, even if she brings 100 maidservants, the husband can force the wife to work, do some type of work with wool or other things. And the reason is because batala, just sitting idle, brings to promiscuity. And Rav Malki over there says, halacha like Rav Elaza, that again was Rav Malki Yai. And the third halacha that we said was the halacha of gumes and pores, which is Amaroic statement. Wasn't said in regards to a Mishnah. That's regarding to two pubic hairs. where if there's found to be the pores of where the hairs are, even if the hairs are not there, she's considered a gedolah, an adult, because the pits would own the pores of that there are where the that's the pit of holding the hair would only be if the hairs were there. It's just that the hairs fell out, so although there's no hairs, we still will consider her as an adult. So these three halachas that were mentioned are all Rav Malkiyai, whereas Beloiris, which are the locks of hair, which is like Gemar Masechet Sabbei Dezar, which is said in reference to a brisa, and that is what Rav Malkiyai there says to explain the brisa. The brisa there says that a kuti, a non-Jew that's getting a haircut from a Jewish barber, once he reaches the bloiris, which is a certain lock of hair where they would leave over for the Avodah Zarah, so the Jewish barber has to stop before he gets there. Now the reason is because the kuti, when he takes that haircut, he leaves that for Avodah Zarah. Now if he would go all the way to where that is and then stop, he would essentially be making something for Avodah Zarah. So on that, the Gemara asks, how much before he gets to the bloiris does the barber have to stop? So on that, Rav Malkiyai said, it has to be three finger breaths in each direction, all around, not to touch. And again, because if he goes there, he's essentially making it. And he's making this thing for Avodah Zarah. So that halacha of bloiris and Efer Mikla of ashes, which is a Merug statement in Masechtas Malkus, where Rav Malkiyai says that a person should not put ashes on his wound because it looks like a tattoo, because it makes an imprint, and therefore that's forbidden. Ugvina and cheese, which is an explanation of the Mishnah Masechet Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara asks, why did the Mishnah say that the non-Jews' cheeses are forbidden? And that Rav Malkiyai said, because they would smooth pig fat on the surface, so therefore we can add their cheeses because it's going to be non-kosher because of the pig's fat. Now, these three halachas were Rav Malkiyai. So we have Rav Chinna says, we know which three are Rav Malkiyai and which three are Rav Malkiyai. However, Papa Mahi argues, he says, Masnitin u'masnita Rav Malkiyai. Whenever it's a Mishnah that's being explained, or a Braisa, it's Rav Malkiyai. Shmaitza, when it's a Marog statement, not based on the Mishnah Braisa, that's Rav Malkiyai. B'samanech, and a mnemonic to remember this, a sign, is Masnitin Malkisa, is that when we're talking, the Mishnah is the queen. What that's trying to say is that whenever we're discussing a Mishnah Braisa, it's Malkisa, which is Malkiyai, not Rav Malkiyai. So the Gemara is my benai. What's the difference between Rav Chinna and Rav Papa when they're arguing, and Rav Papa saying that no, it's a Mishnah Braisa, it's Rav Malkiyai and a Merug statement of Rav Malkiyai. Which case would be the difference? That the Gemara says Ikebenayu Shvachis. The difference between them would be the case of the maidservants, where that's in reference to a Mishnah, and that Rav Papa tells Rav Chinna, where Rav Chinna said that was Rav Malkiyai who said it. And the Rav Papa tells him, no, that was not Rav Malkiyai, because every Mishnah Braisa that there's a discussion that it's one of the two, it's Rav Malkiyai that explained it. But the Amaroik statements that you said that are Rav Malkiyai, you're right, those regarding the Shvud, the spit, and the Gumis, the pores, those were Rav Malkiyai, but the other one cannot be because it's explanation of a Mishnah and a Braisa, which that is always Rav Malkiyai, not Rav Malkiyai. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme about meat on Yom Tiv. So the Mishnah tells us, "Layomer adam latabach." A person should not tell a butcher, "Shaka li b'dinner baser." Weigh for me a piece of meat with the worth of a dinner, because as we had mentioned on previous daf, it's forbidden to mention money value on Yom Tov because of mekhemem. Because you can't tell him, "I want to buy $10 worth of meat." However, avol sheicha, what you do is he slaughters the meat without saying mentioning money. U'mechalik b'dinner, and then they split it, and then after Yom Tov, then they take care of the monies, how much it was that they own, but you can't mention, you could say, I want that piece of meat, but you can't say, I want $10 worth of this type of meat. Now that Gemara asks, Hechi Avit, how does one go ahead in doing this, where if let's say somebody doesn't want to purchase the whole animal, and he doesn't even want half or a third or a quarter, he just wants a dollar's worth or $2 worth. So what does he do? He wants to be able to know, fit it into his budget, but you can't mention money on Yom Tov. How does one go ahead buying meat on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, Kiha, and we continue our topic of Tazim and Alv, Dibisura, like they would do in Surah, where Amri, they would say, in other words, this was their norm, where they would tell the butcher, they would say, give me tarta upalgu tarta, give me a tarta or half a tarta, or similarly, benarish Amri, in Narish, they would say, chelka upalgu chelka, give me a chelka or a half a chelka, or bebedusa Amri and Pumadisa, they would say, uzi upalgu uzia, or b'nahar pakaid or b'masamachasi. I mean, these two places they would say, river, upalga river, give me a quarter and a half of the river, which basically was that their butchers would cut up the pieces of the animals in equal pieces. and this amount of pieces from the animal. Now, those type of pieces, in different locations, they call the different things. In Surah, they call it Tarta. In Norah, they call it Chalkim. Pamadis, they call it Uziah. In Har Pekoy, they call it River. But essentially, what it was is that people knew what the values were, but they weren't. They, no one wanted to buy so much, so the butcher would cut up into equal amount of sizes. And then he would say, I want to have this piece or half that piece, and thereby knowing how much a person is going to be spending based on the piece themselves. But if a person doesn't want to buy half or the whole animal, so how did you go about it doing is that they would cut up in these equal sizes and people knew how much their value was, and then they would say that on Yom Tov, again, not saying the monetary value because that's prohibited because of Mekhar Memchar on Shabbos and Yom Tov.